right. Well, and I'm actually really loud normally, so if you have to turn me down or if you guys do this, let me know if it's too loud for you. But I want to thank you for allowing me to be here. Can I pray with you guys before we begin? I know Larry prayed for me, but let's pray together, because as a church, and not only that, but as brothers and sisters, I want us to come together under the Lord and hear what he wants to say, not what I want to say, because he has words. I don't have a lot. My wife tells me I talk too much, so I'll tone it down just a little bit and let him speak today. So, all right, well, let's pray together. Can we do that? Father in heaven, God, and not just in heaven, you're here with us. And Jesus, you're right in the middle of us. You tell us where two or three are gathered, you are there. And so we know you're here. And we want to thank you, and you are, we're honored guests in your house. And we're grateful for that. And I'm thankful today to be able to be here and share a message with everyone that is here today. And it's in Christ we pray. We ask your blessing on this word, and get me out of the way, Lord, so that the words come through the way you want to speak them. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, first of all, you're going to hear a little bit of a southern drawl to me, because I am from Kentucky. So I promise I won't do that whole Baptist preacher thing to you. You know, we'll go 4 hours or something like that. But we won't do that. But we are going to have a message today. So first of all, thank you so much. And I mean this, Larry, thank you for inviting me here. And I mean that. It's an honor to be able to be here today. And I know your pastor is out, and I love your authenticity here. I love the way the kids are serving and the students are here and they're doing their thing. And just is a beautiful, wonderful church. And so you guys are really blessed to have a place like this. I'll tell you, it's gorgeous. But I want to thank you once again for allowing me to be here to bring a little bit of hope and maybe just a little bit of encouragement and hopefully a whole lot of joy to you today. And I know you've been in the book of Philippians. Is that correct? Is that where you've been? And Philippians chapter 4, right? And that's where you guys have been spending your time. And so that's where we're going to be today. We're going to spend our time a little bit back in Philippians chapter 4. And just as a reminder, I'm sure you've already learned this. So if you have your Bible and you want to open those up in Philippians chapter 4, I'll let you get there. But as we begin to do that, and are you guys okay if I walk around? Are you good with that? I don't know if you'd like me to be right here or not, but I'm not too tethered to this too much. And all right, man. Well, I might be down here with you guys, but I'll do that just a little bit. But so if you remember in Philippians, right, we know that Philippians, even though it's a book of the Bible, and the Bible that we have today, it really isn't, it was never considered a book back when it was written. It actually was written as a what? Do you remember what it was? It was a letter, right? And it was a letter to a particular church that the Apostle Paul, right? You know what apostle really means? He's a church starter. He goes around and he starts churches, right? And so the apostle, the church starter, Paul, he actually went into a place called Macedonia. It was Asia Minor, but in any case, he started the first church there in Philippi. And in this situation, Paul is actually now in a Roman prison. Most people think, or most scholars believe, that he's actually in almost the palace of Caesar, because he talks about Caesar's household in here. But in any case, he's in prison, or he's in chains at least, and he's actually in chains for preaching the message of Jesus, which was against the law, right? So he was breaking the law. Wasn't a speeding ticket, but he was actually breaking the law, right? And so he was put in prison for preaching. And so he was in need, right? And so the Philippian church heard that he was in need, and just like a church should, they responded. As churches, I love that. When there's a need in our congregation, or when there's a need that we hear of, especially a brother or a sister, and we know they're in need, we're supposed to respond. And this church responded for their love, out of their love for Paul and who he is. And because they cared about him, they sent something to him. Now, we don't know if it was actually a monetary gift. I think it was probably some of that. It may very well have been blankets. It may have been scrolls. It may have been something. But whatever it was that he actually received, it helped take care of the needs that he had. And so he was very thankful. And so what he did is he wrote a letter back to this particular church, thanking them for the gifts that they had sent. But what's interesting to me is he also sent them out of prison. He sent them a message of encouragement. Now, I'm going to be honest. If I was in prison, I'd probably send a message of whining, right? Of complaining. Oh, Lord, I'm here, right? I mean, I would have been doing that. How many of you would have done that? Let's just be honest. How many of you, who are the complainers in here? Me, right? Or the whiners? Oh, that hand went way up, right? That's good. All right. We know who we are. And so I would have actually been sending a message back saying, oh gosh, but that's not what Paul did. And so here's a part of the letter in the book of Philippians in chapter 4, okay? This is where we're going to be. And so let's listen to what he actually wrote back to the church. In Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Now, you probably heard this many times, and we're still going to go starting with chapter 4, verse 4, and we're going to go all the way through 9. Listen to what it says. And if you want to read it with me, it says what? Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that. It says rejoice in the Lord what? Always. I will say it again, rejoice. He goes on, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes or transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. And that's a big deal. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Will guard your heart and your what, church? Your mind. Say that with me. And your heart and your what? Your minds in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on and says this. Finally, brothers, and I know our versions may be a little bit different, but it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul wasn't shy, was he? He's like, look, follow my example, right? But here's an interesting thing to me. You know, in this particular book, and once again, it's not a book, it's a letter. But in this book, we're wrapping up. As Paul wraps up his letter, he offers a little bit of peace and encouragement. And here's what he says. He says, hey, no matter what, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening, no matter what situation you're facing, no matter what is really going on with you right now, be joyful in the Lord. And now that's a really important piece because it's okay, you know, we can be joyful, but there's a difference when we're joyful in the Lord. And we're going to talk a little bit about that here in just a second. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but instead be praying about everything. And then he says, be thankful to God, tell him what you need. Then the peace of God will come into your life. Great, great words of encouragement. Now, again, when you read these words today, we read them as a part of the Bible, as I told you earlier, but really, this is the personal letter. And there's something to me that is interesting. While Paul is being locked down in this prison, there's something to me that stands out like a sore thumb in this particular passage of Scripture, and that is his attitude. Paul's attitude is amazing. And here I want to tell you, how can he have this attitude of joy? How can Paul actually have this attitude, you know, of peace? How can he do that? Here's why. I think Paul was actually practicing what he was preaching to this Philippian church through this letter. In other words, he was putting this stuff in his own life, seeing the results from it first. He's a good salesman. You know, the best salesman ever believes in their product. Isn't that true? When you believe in something or you know it's good, man, you want to tell other people about it. It's not just trying, you're just trying to sell it, right? You really believe it. You're convinced in it. And that's how actually you get the sell. The sell, is that right? The sale? That's Kentucky for you. That's Kentucky talk and the sale. But in any case, Paul was actually wanting to help these people understand. Listen, I'm practicing what I'm preaching in here. Now let's go back and here's what he says in verse 4 or chapter 4, verse 8. Let's go back to that. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I'm not sure, but I would have to say that one of the reasons that Paul was able to send this encouragement through the words of these letters was simply because he learned the secret to finding the encouragement that he needed for himself. If you actually go a little bit further in that passage, you go skip to the next page, he says, I've learned the secret to being content in every situation. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, correct? So he found this, but I believe that one of the reasons that he actually found this peace and this joy was because he was praying. But I also believe with all my heart that he was changing the way that he was thinking. It wasn't just changing the way he was praying. It was changing the way he was thinking. Here's, let me ask you a question. Have you ever prayed for something and you got back up and you just started worrying about it again? You ever prayed for something, you got back up and you started complaining about it again? You ever prayed about something and you get back up and you start talking about it again and in a negative way, right? It's not just about praying and giving things to God. It's about praying and then changing the thinking. And so Paul tells us we've got to begin to change the way we think. You know, there's a passage of scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. You guys still with me? You still out there? Listen to what it says. And actually, I'm going to paraphrase it just a little bit. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. Isn't that true? Isn't it true that our thoughts sometimes can run us into the ground? Isn't it true that our thoughts can sometimes be the devil's playground? Our thoughts can make us worry. They can make us stressed. They can take us from a place of being happy to depressed and being anxious. You know what thoughts can also do? Thoughts can actually make you think that your perception is reality when it's not really reality. And you react based on what you think, right? So you've got to be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. Paul and himself understood that. It wasn't just about praying. It was about praying, believing, and then changing the way that you think. Right? So Paul is talking to us about that. And he found joy in that. Be careful what we think. You know, we can overreact because of our thoughts. And you know, Paul was not any kind of superhuman guy. If you ever read before in the book of Romans, he's talking about it. He says, I don't understand what I do. I don't know why I do what I do. What I don't want to do is what I keep on doing. He sounds real confused. I love that. Because I get that way too. Right? And back in Kentucky, I was confused. We seem confused there, but we're not, right? Okay, right? Okay. But in any case, you know, Paul, he tells us, you know, he goes, I don't know what I do, but Paul was not some superhuman. He was absolutely human, just like you are, just like I am to the core. But there was something different about Paul that he could pass on, and he could often, honestly, confidently say, follow my example. And the reason was, he wasn't superhuman. He actually had this supernatural ability given to him by God, but he also had the ability to start changing his thinking. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. We don't think we're that pretty enough. Except for me, I think I'm real pretty. Amen, right, brother? Right? Amen, right? We don't think we're good enough. We don't think we're smart enough. We don't think we have the ability to help people. And then we begin to get down on ourselves, don't we? Do you think God likes that, or do you think the devil likes those things? The devil loved those things when we begin to real be negative and stinking thinking, right? So Paul says, you've got to begin to think better thoughts. I hate to say it this way, but he wants you to begin to think, can you guys smile at me? Are you guys out there? Can you smile? Can you begin? We've got to begin to say and think happy thoughts, right? We're not Peter Pan, but we got to begin to think happy thoughts. And here's the reason why. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. Now, I'm going to come back to Philippians, but I want to give you this. It says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Here's what it says. It says, we demolish arguments and take in every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And I love this last part because I think this is what Paul was doing. And this is the encouragement I think we all need to have today. It says, we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. You got to capture your thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. And Paul had a real reason and a good reason to do that. He was locked in chains, wasn't he? He was in prison. And as Paul was sitting in chains, I think his thoughts kind of went in different places. It had to. If he was not superhuman, he was human. And every human in a bad situation is every now and then going to concentrate on those bad things. But Paul began to say, I'm going to take captive every one of my thoughts, and I'm going to make them obedient to Jesus. And I'm going to change the way I think. And the end result was peace and joy that he said that he was actually trying to pass along, because he told everybody in the book of Philippians, right, to the church, rejoice in the Lord always. And he said, I'm going to say it again, rejoice. I think he had to say that to himself many times, right? And maybe that's what you need a little bit today, is some joy. Maybe today, as you're here, you need some peace. Maybe here today, you don't need to hear just another message. Maybe today, as you come to church, you need to hear something real and something raw and something that's specifically for you, that when you walk out, you're like, God is talking to me and he has something that he needed to share. Some of you in here today, maybe you need for the very first time to hear that there's something better than what's going on inside your head. You need some joy. You need some peace. Some of us, we've been praying it for everybody else. Maybe we need it for ourselves. Well, God wants to give you through that today, through this message. And so I would encourage you today, if you need some peace and joy, if you're facing a dark moment like Paul in this particular prison where he was at, I'm going to begin to encourage you to begin to take captive your thoughts and make them obedient to Jesus. Begin to think happy thoughts. Does that sound masculine? Happy thoughts, right? Begin to think good thoughts. There you go, right? So how do you go back and you begin to think better thoughts? How do you do it? Well, Paul tells us. Here's what he says. Philippians 4:8. Let's go back to that together, okay? It says what? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about those things. So let's talk about, how do we begin to change our thinking? Well, first of all, we're going to go back and break down what Paul says to do. First of all, he says, think about what is true. Now, when I was writing this, I was like praying and saying, okay, God, what do we need to hear here today? I was like, tell me what these people here, your church here at Poudre Christian Fellowship, what do they need to hear? And what I was going back, and it was kind of like, well, they need to think about what is true. Now, it's interesting to me. I was like, well, wait a minute, God, what do you mean? To think about, Paul's telling us to think about what is true? That's confusing. Because what was Paul's truth? He was in jail, right? He was in the clink, in the slammer, in the pokey. I don't know whatever else you guys call it out here, but I can give you all the Kentucky names for it, right? Okay, but he was there, he was in prison. Basically, he was in chains and he was facing uncertainty. Actually, the real truth was Paul was actually getting ready to be tried by Caesar. And Caesar was the highest of the law, wasn't he? He even wanted to be tried by Caesar. He said, I want to be tried by him, because he knew he would get some kind of justice. Now, whatever that justice may be, whether it was death, he didn't know at this time. He didn't know if he was going to be executed. He didn't even know if he was going to be released. He had no idea. But the one thing we can know is there was some kind of justice he was waiting for. And so he understood he was in this place of uncertainty. And so that was his current condition. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you're in a place right now where you don't know about the future. You don't know about the next paycheck. You don't know about the situation. You don't know about the health of your family or the condition of where they're. I don't know what it is maybe that you might very well be facing, but that may very well be your external truth. And so if Paul is saying, think about what is true, what is he talking about? Is he talking about those external things, or is he talking about the internal truth of the promises of God? So you got to flip the script. You got to turn it over. Think outside the box, right? You got to begin to say, you know what? Is he talking about his external truth, the things that he can see? Or is he talking about the things maybe he can't see, but yet he actually is talking, is it about the external, or is it the promises of God? I think he was talking about the promises of God, the truth of what God told him. Now, we can't go back and say, well, he was thinking about God works everything out for the good of those who love him. Okay, we know that, but guess who wrote that? Paul did. So he didn't have that yet. He maybe have thinking of that. He's like, man, that's a good thought. I ought to write that down, right? But he did have the Old Testament. Okay? So, I told you I wasn't going to get too Baptist on you, but I'm going to go Old Testament on you, right? All right. So, here is what Paul actually had, the truth that he had to hold on to. Let me read it to you. And there's a few of them. Deuteronomy 31:6. You don't have to go there, but just listen, okay? Here's one of the truths that he had. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:8. Paul knew about this one. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Someone needs to hear this today. Don't be discouraged. Isaiah 41:10, he knew about this one. So do not fear, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jeremiah 1:8, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Come on now. Yeah, right. And another one I love that Paul knew. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Right? So these, I believe, is what Paul was talking about when he says, I want you to think about what is true. Paul's external truth was, yes, I'm in chains. Paul's external truth is, yes, there's prison guards around me. Paul's external truth was, oh, wait a minute, my Savior was beaten and crucified by these same kind of guys. Huh, I may not go through the same, I may get the same kind of treatment that he had. So that was the external truth, but the internal truth, you guys get this? Internal? The internal truth of the promises of God says, you may not be able to see me, but I promise I'm right there with you. You may not be able to feel me, but I promise I'm right here standing with you in this moment. And I have plans for you to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in a future. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be discouraged because I am your God. And by the way, Paul, this isn't all there is. There's more to the story. In that unclouded day that you were singing about. And I love that because what we may need to do today, you know, maybe you're in a place where you feel like you're completely alone. That's your truth. Maybe you feel like you're in a place today where you just don't know how things are going to work out. That's your truth. But is that really the truth? Because perception becomes your reality. Be careful what you think. Your thoughts run your life. If you can flip the script and get your thoughts on the promises of God and the truth where he is, if he is the truth, oh my gosh, I feel like God talking to me. Here we go. I'm going to get Baptist on you. All right. Didn't Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Isn't that right? So if he is the truth, then that is the truth we need to concentrate on, correct? And if that's the truth we need to concentrate on, then much better is going to be happening for our life than our current situation. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Stop bringing yourself down in this external truth because that's not the real truth. That's just the facade. It's temporary. I had a preacher tell me one time, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Right? So maybe if you're in a situation right now to where you're feeling like, you know, I just don't know what's going to happen. Think about what is true. You're loved. You're not alone. This isn't the end. And I hope that you understand that. And I think by beginning to understand the truth, you'll find a little bit of joy and maybe just a little bit of peace. And a little bit is maybe all you need for today to get you through God's with you. He's not going to leave you. He's going to strengthen you. He will hold you up. This truth will help begin to help you just to feel better. Some of you just need to feel better. Change the way you think. Be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. So Paul said, think about what is true. I had to really flesh that out when I was reading that. I was like, what do you mean? Think about what is true, Paul. You're locked up. But he's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. And I just wanted to give that to you. Now, some of you guys, you're going, oh my gosh, he's going to go through every one of these. Noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. We're going to be here for, sorry, Larry, it's going to be a 6-hour sermon, all right? You're going, oh my gosh, no, really, let's get this guy out the door. Amen, praise God, let's get him out of here, right? No, that's right. Okay, so let's gonna, we're, this guy's like, no, man, please, let's just wrap it up, right? All right. No, okay, all right. Well, here's the thing. I think another thing Paul said was what? What was the next thing? Think about not only what is true, but he said, think about what is noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. I'm going to put them together, okay? Because they're all relatable. And here's the reason why. Now, what is Paul telling us here? Well, again, we have to keep in mind. Now, when you, let me help you understand something. I know you can listen to me or you can throw it out the window, but I'm going to help you when it comes to reading scripture. Sometimes we can take passages and we take them. And God's word does speak through each particular passage. But if you want to know the full story, you got to read what's above it and below it. You got to know the context of what you're reading, right? So you got to understand the context and what is Paul is trying to say in light of his current situation. Paul said, think about what is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Here's what I'm kind of trying to get at it with this. And I think what Paul is trying to help us understand. Paul was being held against his will for a crime of just wanting to help people. I mean, the crime was, I just want to help people know that they can have eternal life and forgiveness and a little bit of peace and joy and love. I mean, is there anything wrong with that? Heck no, it's good, isn't it? But back then, it was against the law to preach this message. Not only that, but Paul was being persecuted by his own countrymen. Some of his own friends and family turned against him. He was a Jew. Now he's advocating something against the Jewish religion. Not really. It's the fulfillment of it, but they didn't get it, right? So Paul had plenty of time to think. Here's these guys that are locking me up against my will. They murdered my Savior. Paul could have had a lot of time to sit there and be bitter, couldn't he? He could have a lot of time to sit there and brood into resentment of his captors and countrymen. He could have let his mind turn really ugly. He could have really thought about what he would like to do to these people who are holding him captive. Have you ever been in that place? You're just like, the more you think about what they've done, the more you're just like, man, I'll tell you. Right? And our mind can turn really ugly. But instead, what Paul did is he found it better to think of noble and right and pure things, thoughts that were a little more lovely and admirable. He could have allowed his thoughts to take him to the gutter, but instead, he allowed his thoughts to take him on a high road, and the end result was he found peace and joy that he could pass along instead of bitterness. And what an example. You know, maybe here, let me just kind of put it in perspective. Maybe somebody has done something to you, right? Maybe somebody's really messed with you. They've hurt you. They've betrayed you. They've lied to you. They've cheated you. They've ran out on you. They've left you. I don't know what it is that you may very well have been facing or have faced in your life. And some of us, we carry this stuff around for years. And we brood over it. The divorce that happened 30 years ago. The family member that keeps, you know, doing things that shouldn't be doing. We talk about it over and all of this stuff. Or the person that hurt us or cheated us or whatever it is. And we brood and we brood. Remember, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. You know what I like to call me, M-E? This is me, right? But me, M-E, is my enemy. My enemy in here wants to spin it in a bad way. What did they do to you? How dare they pull out of me on traffic? Right? Praise God, I'm going to get in front of you, right? Sometimes our life, we get this stuff going out of control. Paul had a lot of time to sit there and think about all the things that were done wrong to him. And so instead of letting himself get into the gutter, what Paul said is, I better begin to start thinking thoughts that are noble and right and pure and admirable and lovely. Because if I don't do that, my human side is going to take me to a place where I'm going to just boil in bitterness. Isn't that true? And so Paul said, if you want to find peace and you want to find a little joy, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get out of that gutter. Haven't you ever been to that place where you're like, you played over and over and over what that person did, and you just would love not to put them on Facebook, because some of us, we just tell them what we're thinking on Facebook. Like, right? Wouldn't you ever work there? You're like, if I saw them again, if I would see them, boy, I'd tell them this and I'd tell them that. And here's what I'm going to do. You ever done that? And you got yourself all worked up, right? It almost feel real. What follows is all those negative emotions, don't they? Doesn't make you feel good. That's not what God wants for you. God wants peace and joy in your hearts. And the only way that you can actually get that is by getting the bitterness out of you. That's why even later on in Scripture, Paul even said, see, you can see how he's learned a lot of things in prison. Later on, Paul said, you got to get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and slander and all this stuff and filthy language from your lips. You think Paul might have been saying some things under his breath? Possibly. He was human. And the way to find peace and joy, Paul said, listen, you got to stop thinking about what they did and begin to think about what God wants you to do to begin to help witness to them. Because it's not you that is lost, it's them. The best way to make an enemy a friend is by sharing with them. Right? And so we've got to begin to do that. And so Paul said, okay, well, I've got to begin to change the way I think. And so what did he think about? Well, here's what he said, or here's what Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 said. And this is what I want you to understand. What can you do? I'd encourage you right now, if you're going through something where you're thinking of bitterness, I would encourage you to not think about what you would like to do to that person, but think about maybe what Jesus wants you to do for that person. And that's hard. But here's what it says in Matthew 5, 44, the words of Jesus. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, don't pray the prayers of David. Oh, dear Lord, smite my enemies. You're like, amen, I can pray all day on that one, right? Pray for those who persecute you. Luke 6, 27, Jesus said, but to you who are listening, oh, are you guys listening? But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Now, let me ask you a question. What is love? Is love a feeling? It can be. But that's not what true love is. Do you know what love is? Love is action. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not selfish. It's not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrongs. Guess who wrote that too, Paul? Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How did he know that? He had a lot of time to practice. Make sense? So, but to you who are listening, love your enemies, right? Do good to those who hate you. So in everything, in Matthew 7, 12, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Romans 12, 19, listen to what it says. Oh, here's one. I think this was the thought when Paul said, think about what is lovely. Okay? You want to know what I think Paul thought was lovely? Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. I bet Paul was going, boy, that's a lovely thought. I'm going to think that lovely thought all day long, right? But it's okay. We're allowed. Paul, I'm certain, absolutely 100% certain, fought with his thoughts. I know that because he was a man. He was human, right? It's just true. Sometimes we superhuman these guys, and they're not superhuman. They were human. Matter of fact, they even said, you know, everyone says, you know, it was Elijah who prayed, but he was a guy just like you and I. Nothing superhuman about these guys. They were just human, and I'm sure he fought with ugly thoughts. So what he began to do is saying, okay, so if I'm supposed to be a witness, and if God has me in this situation, how am I going to do that? If I'm sitting here thinking all these bad thoughts about all these guys around me all the time, Well, I've got to begin to think differently because your thoughts run your life. And the only way for Paul to be a witness is to begin to give them what they didn't deserve, which is grace. Is there a person in your life right now you need to give grace to? They don't earn it. They didn't deserve it. Maybe you do. Maybe there are people right now that have really messed with you. And the thought of what they've done has stolen your joy. Listen, begin to think of these people in a different way. And when you begin to do that, you're going to begin to get a sense of joy and peace in your own life. You cannot, everybody look at me real quick. You can't change what people have done to you. You can't do that. But you can change the way you think going forward. And listen, many times what people have done to you, please get this. I really feel like somebody needs to hear this. What they've done to you is allowed, it's taken you captive. You got to throw open that prison door and walk out of that and say, you know what? I'm going to have joy and I'm going to have peace. The way I'm going to do this is I'm going to stop thinking about them and the things that they've done because honestly, that's only making me feel gross. And bitter. I'm going to begin to think differently. I'm going to begin to think thoughts that are admirable, thoughts that are noble, thoughts that are pure. God is going to take care of this. Thoughts that are lovely, right? And then I know it may very well begin to be difficult. That might be a difficult thing, but remember, thoughts can control your life. And so I love this. If thoughts can control your life, which scripture says they can, if you begin to change your thinking, then guess what eventually follows? The way you think will change, but also your life will begin to change as well. Be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. Proverbs 4:23. If you change your thinking, then you will soon follow. Make sense? That's how Paul was able to do it. Not only that, that's how he was able to give it away. Paul believed in the product he was selling. Is that, you guys got it? Yeah, it's good stuff. It really, really is. The path to peace and joy, Paul said, is to think about what is noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. And then he told us to think about one more thing. He said, think about anything that is excellent or praiseworthy. And I think this is one of my favorite ones, and I had to laugh when I was writing about this because basically I think what Paul was saying was, listen, if you can't find anything else, find something. Think about anything, right? Anything that is praiseworthy and excellent. It's a fail-safe. It's that button that you put, you've ever seen a button on a machine that says, in emergency, press this? If you can't find anything else, if you're still bitter in your thoughts, if you're still, you know, you can't find anything to be thankful for, you know, at the time, press this one. Just find anything. Right? Paul was specific with the other thoughts, but basically he was saying, look, there are going to be times that you're just going to have to concentrate on any good that you can find, anything, because sometimes that's all that you have, isn't it? Paul didn't have a lot when he was in prison. We know this because he was in need. How do we know? Because the church sent him. That's the purpose of this letter. They sent him a gift. He was thanking them. But not only that, Paul gave them a gift back. And he said, you know, Paul was saying, listen, I don't have a lot to give me comfort. Thank you for what you've sent me, but I want to show you how to actually be grateful in any and every situation. And it's a great lesson for us. You know, what was Paul thankful for? What did he find excellent and praiseworthy? I don't know. Maybe it was, thank you, God, that I have another day of life. They didn't kill me yesterday. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, I have, you know, some food. They fed me today. They didn't feed me 2 days ago and maybe the last 2 or 3 days, but I had a little bit today. So thank you for that. He said, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, excellent. I made it through another day. Praise God. I have a little bit of food today. I can see some of the sunshine coming through that window or those bars. I don't know what it looked like there, but he found something and that's what he was thankful and grateful for. And maybe your situation right now, you don't have a lot to be thankful for. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe your health is fading. Maybe you're still trying to find love and you just can't find it, or you don't feel loved. Somebody ran out. I don't know. Maybe you just feel like you're in the dump of life. It's really easy to concentrate on the things that are around you, but you've got to begin to say, you know what? I'm going to begin to just be thankful for anything, anything. I'm going to hit that fail-safe button. I'm going to find anything to be grateful and thankful for, anything that's excellent, anything that's praiseworthy. You may not have the best of clothes, but you have them. I got holes in my shoes, but I'm wearing them. Right? Definitely well-fed. Although my wife put me on the Jenny Craig diet. Terrible. We need to pray for her. All right? Amen. All right? All the guys are going, yeah, you're right. We can't do that. It's easy to get down and anxious when things are going wrong, right? But listen, if you want to enjoy some peace and a little bit of joy, begin to think about whatever is excellent, whatever you can praise God for. Maybe it's just a smile that somebody gave you. Maybe it's just the song that came on the radio. Maybe it's just a hug somebody gave. I don't know what it is. Maybe the meal today you're going to eat. I'm not sure. But if you can find it as something to be thankful for, then concentrate on that. If you can bend down and tie your shoes, if you can still walk, right? I mean, anything that you can be thankful for and grateful for if your children are healthy. Anything. The pillow that you sleep on, the blanket that keeps you warm, the food that you eat. Think of all, not only that, but here's one. Listen, I know I'm getting long-winded, but I want to say, here's one. Think about all the things that God has done for you in the past. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Think of all the things that God has done for you in the past. Think of everything. Concentrate on whatever it is. I love that about Paul. He was, because I think maybe he was thinking about that on a day where he couldn't think about good, noble thoughts. He's like, okay, think about this, this, this. And then not only that, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Right? Because sometimes that's all we have. And if you think about the things that you can think about, that you can find a little bit of gratefulness that is excellent and praiseworthy to you. Think about those things, and you're going to see some peace and joy begin to take bloom in your heart. Psalms 13:6 says, I will sing the Lord's praises, for he's been good to me. Psalms 126:3 says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. And so listen, as we close today, we can learn a lot from Paul, and that is really the goal of what he wanted. I love at the end of this, you know, Paul wasn't being conceited. He wasn't being arrogant when he said these words, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And here's the reason why, because he understood the product. He knew it worked. He's like, and at the end result, he said, and the peace of God will be with you. He wanted them to understand it. And I think, everybody look at me real quick. That's what he wants for you today. He really does. We're from all different walks of life. I don't even know you. You don't know me. But I will tell you what does work. This right here. And it works for every one of us, no matter who we are, what we've been through, where we are, what age we are. This will work for your life, and it'll bring you peace, and it'll bring you joy if you begin to do what this says. That's why Scripture says, don't merely listen to the word. Do what it says. Okay? And you know, today, maybe you're facing this situation where you've been through a lot. Paul didn't have a whole lot, but he found things to be thankful for. And I would encourage you to read this again today. Put it in your life. You may not be in a Roman prison. You're not. But you may have some things that are keeping you in the prison in your heart and your mind. Please let those open up. And remember, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. You change your thinking, you begin to change the way you feel. And when you begin to change the way you feel, you'll begin to follow that. Does that make sense? And actions will follow suit. One time, as I close, let's read the words of Paul one more time. And I pray you can apply it to what he teaches to our own lives. And I pray as you hear this right now, let it be that Paul is speaking to you as a church. That you, let's just pretend that you were the ones that sent this encouragement to him. Just for a minute. Let Paul encourage you. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, you think about such things. And whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, you put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. My prayer, since I heard I was coming up here, is that God would give you something. And my prayer today is truly, and I mean this with all my heart, that he gives you some peace, and he gives you some joy. Maybe for some of you, if first time in a long time, and you need it. Well, he's here to give it. Let Paul encourage you today. This is not just another message. It's truth for your life. Okay? Don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. Right? If you do what it says, Paul even goes on and tells you there's a blessing in it. And I think the blessing is, everybody look up here, you might just feel better. You might just feel better. You can have something to smile about, right? Right. I smile at a lot of people. I'm learning it's okay if you're from Colorado, they'll smile at you. If they're from California, they won't smile at you. I'm just teasing. I'm totally kidding. My wife's actually from California. Don't hold that against her either. But that's why she put me on Jenny Craig. So, no, I'm just kidding. But we're going to pray together. If you've never given your life to Jesus, listen. He loves you more than you can ever even know. He does. He gave his life on a cross, and you know that. But not only that, he gave his life as he lived to undo all the things that we wouldn't do right. He did them right. And then he went to a cross to pay for the things that we've done wrong. And then he rose again. Not only did he defeat sin and death, but he gave us this promise of eternal life. And if we're in him, we'll rise too. Man, what a cool gift, right? If you've never received that, listen, just be sorry for the things you've done wrong because we've all blew it. I've blown it. So have you. Just ask him to forgive you. And he will. And then be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then start living your life the best way you can. And he'll help you to follow the rest of the way. Does that make sense? Well, let's pray together. Then I'll turn this over to Larry again. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the word that you gave us today. And I want to thank you for Paul. He was just as human as we are. And Lord, you showed him a lot of things. And he was able to write them down for us and to help us. He was helping the church, but that church still is us. And so, Lord, I'm thankful that the church responded to him. So he had an opportunity to respond back to them. And we get the benefit of the word, not just a word. You know, like we think of it just as a book of the Bible, it's more than that. It's your word, but it's also the truth of what was going on that still resonates in our life today. Your word speaks all the time, and I pray that it would continue to speak to us. and we'd be encouraged through it. Thank you for allowing me to be here today with these wonderful people. And I pray that you would give them joy and peace and keep the devil far from their minds. Help them to be reminded that be careful what they think, because thoughts run our lives. And we want them to be running to you, not away from you. So Lord, help us. And it's in Christ we do pray.